Well, even though this is our Christmas Eve program, we are now into Christmas at every time zone except Hawaii. So have some fun, folks. We're going to have a Christmas program for you Friday night, though, by the way. In a moment, I'm going to bring in our guest, Arthur Anderson. We're going to talk about what he did for his own protection and for the people he worked with. His website is called myprayerwarrior.com, and we're going to talk about spiritual warfare in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Told me if things don't turn out just the way you want them to the first time, you still got to believe. And I kept believing, and you were right, Mommy. Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
This is Heidi Hollis, and I want to wish you all a very merry and extra safe Christmas this year. So there will be many more Christmases to come for all of us. Be blessed, everybody.
Heidi Hollis, of course, the originator of the Hat Man and Shadow People, and of course, one of our hosts on the Paranormal Podcast Network for you. Let me introduce Arthur Anderson. Originally from South Carolina, Arthur felt the need to venture out into the world of Hollywood, facing dangerous locations on movie sets, 18-hour workdays, unpredictable weather, and all kinds of conflicts around the world. He turned to prayer, not only for his own protection, but his crew. This led to researching spiritual warfare, demons, eventually graduating from the International School of Exorcism in 2019. His website is called myprayerwarrior.com. Arthur, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for joining us, and I'm looking forward to this.
Hey, George, thank you so much. And I just appreciate all you guys do, because particularly over the holidays, those people who are home by themselves or trucks driving across the country supplying all our vital needs, the soldiers who are out on the forward operating bases sitting on guard while we enjoy a good Christmas at home, those are the people who you minister to when you do these shows over the holidays. And I know they appreciate that. So I just want to thank you guys for doing that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I've got to ask you, because you've got quite an incredible Hollywood background, but back in 2006, you worked on Mission Impossible 3 with Tom Cruise, great actor.
Yes.
But he's been in the news lately because of the COVID-19 situation, really got upset with his crew. What was he like to work with?
Well, I tell you, physically, he's one of the hardest working actors in Hollywood. He does 98% of his own stunts, and the arguments I've had with him over the years is he does 98% of his own stunts. So,
yeah.
He's
and could get hurt.
Athletic. He's good. I mean, he's a good storyteller. And the situation that happened on that movie set, I don't know the details of what happened, and I don't know what led up to that. I don't know if there was, you know, if people had been violating the rules for a long time and finally it just came to head. And listen, would I have coached him to do that differently? Yes, but I wasn't there, and I don't know what led up to it. So people might, there's a lot of strict rules now with personal protective equipment on a set and, you know, having to stay 6 feet apart and wearing masks. And if people were constantly violating those rules, then it becomes a problem for the insurance company. What's happening right now is that Hollywood production is about 75% back to where it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really killing it is the independent producers, because it's hard for them to get insurance. If you're a large studio, you've got deep pockets. But if you're a small independent producer, it becomes exponentially harder for you to get insurance. So what happened on that set, it may have been a cumulative event where over days and days, and they have these monitors who sit around and monitor, is everybody following the protocols? And it may have been a continuous violation situation. And finally, you know, the crew may have been talked to, and then finally Tom thought that was his only option, was to, you know, to express that in the way he did. So not having been there, I don't know what events led up to it, but that's, you know, the only thing I can think of is that if something had been going on like that for a while, or it was just spontaneous that, you know, he saw this, and like you said, you know, he's a producer also, so he's wearing a couple of different hats.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I have experience with that, because on, you know, a lot of features, I'm an uncredited rewriter, I'm a producer, and I'm the assistant director, and sometimes I'm the second unit director. So sometimes I have to have conversations with myself. So you know, it's a lot of pressure, and getting a large movie made today is not easy under all these restrictive rules that are being placed on us now. You know, and listen, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what he said was correct. I mean, if a picture gets shut down, and there's a lot of people suffering in Hollywood right now that can't make car payments, can't make their rent payments, it's putting pressure on their families, divorces are happening, you know, there's huge people are depressed, suicide rates have gone up. So, you know, the motion picture industry is just like any other industry. I mean, the only thing is you're making a product that is entertainment. You're not making a car.
Right.
But the people are under the same pressure, and you work longer hours. You're on location. You're separated from your family for months at a time. So, you know, I can understand his concern that nobody wants a movie to get shut down because somebody's violating the rules and the studio shut you down because the insurance companies aren't going to cover us.
Do you know a friend of ours, Ed Bernero, who was executive producer of Criminal Minds, by any chance?
No, huh?
Good guy. Good
never
guy.
Never had the opportunity.
All you folks in Hollywood are good folks.
But speaking of prayer, though, and working on large action films like that and talking about, you know, Tom and doing his stunts, I mean, also knows every movie I work with him on, and every movie I work on, I always pray for the cast and the crew every day when I go in. I say prayers for them, and particularly when you're doing movies that have large stunts in it. And like I said, Tom's one of the most athletic guys in Hollywood. I mean, I put him in a TWA hangar down at LAX, and 80 feet up in the top of the rafters, and he's on a descender rig.
Oh, wow!
It's hundreds of feet of cable that he's on a harness, right? And then the camera's pointing up at him, and then he jumps out of these rafters, and this descender rig that first lets you go really fast, and it slows you down, and then you stop 6 inches from the camera. So that's kind of a daily event on a large action movie like that. I mean, you know, so there are people who are being put in dangerous positions, and so my part in that was to make sure everything's as safe as possible, and that, you know, nothing's going to happen. You know, that we've taken every precaution possible, so they won't get hurt. But
did something happen where you decided you're going in this direction?
In terms of what?
In terms of the prayer. I mean, there an episode that changed your whole outlook of everything?
Yeah, you know, I've always been a man of faith, but what happened was. My daughter, background right after Mission Impossible 3, she got deathly ill.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry.
I mean, we took her to every doctor, and we spent tens of thousands of dollars. She started to have organs shut down, and they couldn't diagnose what the problem was.
Oh, geez.
And then I said, listen, this is not a physical problem. We can diagnose. And I grew up in a Christian school. Back in Charleston, you know, 12 years of going through Christian school, I had about 10,000 hours of biblical study. So I said, you know, I need to go back to the beginning here to find out what did Christ do when he ran into situations like this? And what I found out he did, he says, you know, every time he healed a sick person, he usually attacked a demonic entity.
Mm-hmm.
He cast that entity out of him, and then the healing followed, right? So the denomination I was in didn't teach that. They taught that the gifts of those days were just for those days, and it didn't apply to the ending. But when you go to Scripture and you read what Jesus said about that, he said, you know, when I leave, I give you this power to cast out demons and trample the enemy and to heal the sick. So I said, well, I'm going to start learning that. So I started looking for people who taught that. So I found an old Baptist preacher back in the Midwest. His name is Win Worley. I started watching some of his YouTube videos. I got his books. I started looking at that. And there was no other Baptist church doing this, by the way. He's doing a really serious deliverance ministry. I said, okay. So I started using some of that with my daughter, working with her. And then I found Derek Prince. He was an atheist who became, in World War II, became a minister and really got into deliverance ministry. Then I found Bob Larson. And I said, well, these are interesting. Started reading his books, went through the exorcism school, actually trained with Bob some, and started using this on my daughter, and it really started having a huge effect on her. So, and it all came to a culmination kind of one day when she had passed out She's in the ambulance. I'm in the ambulance with her. We're rushing to the hospital. And I said, listen, this is a time where I've got to put the rubber to the road. So I just put my head into her stomach, and I started doing warfare prayers. And she came to.
Wow.
At the hospital. The doctors couldn't find anything wrong with her. And that's when I knew it was really working.
It works. That's right. How old was she then?
She was about, I want to say, 20, 21, somewhere around there.
And I pray she's okay now?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Okay, she still has some residual effects from it, but she's fully functional. She's got her own online business. She's a singer-songwriter, just super talented.
Good for you.
Blessed to have her.
Tell us about this International School of Exorcism.
I tell you, it's really great because it's an online school you can take, and it has different levels that you go through. It has like four different levels, and the advanced level is the final level. And it essentially, what's great about it is it takes you through the basics of, well, where did Christ start with spiritual warfare? It follows all the way through the church, gives you all the background on how deliverance ministries developed over the years, and how then it kind of disappeared, and then how recently it's resurrected. More people are using the spiritual warfare. And then so I studied that, went through those courses, and then I interned with Bob. I actually went to private sessions with him where he was working with people and delivering people from oppression and affliction. And so out of that, that's from studying that, seeing the effects, as I had worked on my daughter, and she'd had great success. Then the word kind of started to spread. So then people who were having problems would come to my house. I'd teach them about spiritual warfare. If they needed a deliverance session, we would do that. And then COVID hit, and those sessions could no longer take place.
Right. Everybody panicked on that.
Contact. So in the interim, I'd moved up to northern Idaho just before the COVID had hit, which was fortuitous. And I said, you know, I still had people calling me. And I said, I wish I could still work with these people in person, but there's, you know, it's impossible. And she's a visibility expert. She teaches women how to take their businesses online. She said, Dad, there's a way for you to do it. And she says, I've got these training courses. You can do an app, a spiritual warfare app, where you can teach people how to do spiritual warfare. They'll have it on their phone, and they can. She says the way to do it is to either make it so they can read your prayers and that you pray for them, give them a background on spiritual warfare prayers, so they can take immediate action. So she says a one-on-one, you can only minister to one person, but if you put it in an app where people can access it, she says you can spread it out to thousands of people. And so on Father's Day of this year, she gave me this app. She says, okay, now there's no more putting it aside or complaining about it. Here it is. You've got to do it. So I went through all her training videos, put this app together, and then last week I got the results back. I did a beta test. And usually you send these apps out, you do beta tests, you get about a 5% result. Well, I got 40% of the people returned. And well,
that's huge.
Wow. Yeah, it says, wow, we really enjoy this. We understand what spiritual warfare is now. And what they like is it's actionable prayers that we can use in our lives every day to go after and reclaim ourselves from the enemy.
How many people get hit by these demons, Arthur? What percent?
Here's the thing, is that what happened is thinking about Christmas, you say, when I was thinking about the topic of what we're going to talk about tonight, I was thinking about how the birth of Christ began the war for our souls to redeem us out of the kingdom of Satan. And so when you think about that, you say, well, what is Satan control? Is Satan's in control of our planet, and how do we know that? Because when he went to the mountaintop and he took Jesus up there and he tempted him, he says, if you'll bow down before me, I'll give you control over all these kingdoms. You go, well, how did that come about? Well, you have to trace the lineage back to Adam and Eve. When they sinned and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they ceded the title to the earth over to Satan. So That's how Satan has control over the earth. So everybody who's born, who starts breathing on this planet, is in his kingdom. So what happened, though, was Jesus came, what foiled his plan is when Jesus was born, you got to remember, he was born into genocide. Herod was out trying to kill all the babies to find him.
To get to him, yeah.
He thought he was going to be a physical king who would take over and rule, but that wasn't actually the plan. So if Satan's plan was foiled, so Satan says, okay, well, I've got to kill Jesus because he's going to bring the kingdom of heaven to hand. His plan got foiled when he killed Christ, and he says, oh, I've won the battle. But then Christ rose from the dead, his resurrection power. So he shed his blood for our sins going all the way back to Adam and Eve, and then he redeemed us for the one thing that Satan had really control over was death, right? So when Jesus was resurrected, we inherited his resurrection power. So Satan at that point realized that, oh my gosh, I made a terrible mistake. I killed him. I thought he was dead, and now he's risen up. And through his resurrection, he's given us power now to take control back over the earth. So what spiritual warfare, and when he rose from the dead, he also sent a helper to us. He sent the Holy Spirit, right? So he gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to be able to guide us, right? So spiritual warfare then is being able to come against Satan's kingdom, come against the demonic forces that are coming against us, and reclaiming territory in Jesus' name.
What do these satanic forces really want?
They want to take as many of our souls as possible
to
hell with them when the final judgment comes. Because you got to remember, Satan hates us. You think about it. When he got cast out of heaven, he and a third of the angels of heaven conspired to take over the throne of God, and they got cast down to earth, right? So they hate us because we're created in the image of God. And what a better way to cover up the image of God than to make us wear a mask, right?
That's very interesting.
He hates seeing our face, right? So all the events. So think about it this way, George. Think about what we're going through now is a motion picture. And what drives a good motion picture?
A Twilight Zone movie.
Yes. What drives a good motion picture is tension. It's the combat between hope versus fear.
Yep. Okay.
I'll tell you, here's a great definition I heard of one time of fear: false evidence appearing real. Fear is his big weapon that he uses against us. And you heard everybody talking earlier tonight. You heard the psychologist talking about, well, we really need to take a spiritual grasp of what's going on here and overcome this fear. And that's exactly what's happening. So in this movie we're living through right now, through this COVID movie, there's always this inciting incident. The first, everything starts out, first COVID started in China, it goes to Europe, it comes over here, and then it goes from there. Now we're in Act 2. Act 2 is that 60-page to the script where the really bad stuff is happening. Because what you're always hoping for the protagonist of the film, you're always hoping the best will happen for him, but you fear the worst is happening. And so in Act 2 is when all the really bad things start happening to the protagonist, and he has to have a change of heart and figure out, okay, now I'm going into Act 3, and I'm going to take action, right? So what I want to convince people of tonight is that we're at the end of Act 2, and now we're going into Act 3, and you have the power to reclaim territory for Jesus in your life and fight against these satanic forces and overcome them.
Let's talk how we can do that, Arthur, when we come back in just a moment. Arthur Anderson with us, his website, myprayerwarrior.com, and next hour we'll take calls with him and you. We'll be back with more with Arthur Anderson in just a moment on Coast to Coast. Next hour, we'll take your questions and calls with him. Perhaps you've gone through some kind of spiritual warfare. You want to share that story? Jump aboard.
Now, I know what you'd like for Christmas. Let's see what we can do about it.
This is Mark Zickrey wishing everyone a wonderful Christmas Eve. And in terms of my favorite holiday food, Well, if you've seen the Twilight Zone episode To Serve Man, you know it's a cookbook, so you can guess what my favorite food is. Have a great Christmas day, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, Mark Zakrie, author of The Twilight Zone Companion, and he's just an expert on The Twilight Zone. Arthur, do you know Mark by any chance?
No, I don't.
Another great guy. We got to get all you folks together one day and do some shows. You never know.
That'd be great to do that. That'd be a lot of fun, George.
How can people ward off demonic forces that come at them?
Well, Christ has given us some powerful tools to do that. But let's think first about, George, where's the battle start for everybody? Because we're talking about the psychology of this and where this battle first starts is in the mind, right? He comes after our mind. So, you know, Paul tells us about spiritual warfare. He says, you know, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds. This war starts in our mind. You're thinking about all the depression and everything everybody's going through at this point. Where does that start? And it starts when we're very young. You know, our brains are a miraculous creation of God. And when we're like 0 to 1 year old, we're in a delta frequency. So that's a sleeping dreamlike state. When, from 2 to 6 years old, we go to theta, which is a semi-hypnotic state. And so when we're in that young stage, that's so we can absorb the instruction manual for life. You know, don't touch that flame, it's hot. You know, look both ways before you cross the street.
Exactly.
But while we're in the theta state, though, we don't have the analytical mind yet. We don't have the chemicals in our brain to make analytical thought. We're absorbing the instruction manual, right? So this is where he first comes after us. So he'll have people, you know, tell you, oh, you'll never amount to anything. You're too fat. You're too this. You're this. So, a lot of negative programming goes, and we take that as the truth because we don't have the analytical skills yet to say, "Hey, that's not true." So that's where he first starts warring against us, right? And so then as you get older, what he does at that point is he hijacks our behavioral download system, and like a hacker, he gains control into our mind, right? So later in life, that's why you can be 40 years old and you're going home for the holidays. Somebody makes one of these negative statements. You react like you did when you were 8 years old. It's now hardwired into our mind, right? So then what we have to do and part of spiritual warfare is we have to take dominion and authority over these areas. And that's why when you feel those emotions coming up, any negative emotion you can feel, anger, hatred, depression, you know, and he really attacks people in shame and guilt. He says, you're not worthy of love, right? And he puts shame on you. So what you do in spiritual warfare is you, when you feel those emotions coming on, like everybody's feeling this depression right now, Christ gave us the tools to come against that, right? And so in Matthew, he tells us, anything you bind on heaven will be bound on earth. So when you attack these forces, what you're doing is you're reclaiming dominion and authority over your life. So say you're having this anger issue, you're having a relationship problem with someone, that anger comes on you, you recognize it and you say, well, I bind you in the name of blood of Jesus Christ, and I cast you away from me, right? And then he also gives us the permission to put angelic hosts after those. So then what you do is and Jesus is the army of the angelic host, and they're here to help us also. So then once you've cast that spirit of anger away from you, then you pray for Jesus to loose his warring angels of Jesus Christ against it and to keep them away from you, right?
Does it work all the time, Arthur?
You know, here's the thing, is since Satan has dominion and authority over this realm, like when Daniel was praying for help, well, God heard that prayer right away, sent Gabriel down to help him. It took Gabriel 3 weeks to get down there because he encountered spiritual forces of darkness that held him back. And it wasn't until Archangel Michael came in and cleared a path for him to get through. So what he tells us is, he tells us, you know, you pray earnestly, right? So when you pray, the previous guest brought up two things. You have to pray with a strong intention, right? You can't, the Bible says, don't be a double-minded man. So a strong intention is having a clear vision in your frontal lobe of your mind of what you want to happen. So if you're going after those spiritual forces, you see those forces being bound up, and then you have gratitude. So you have a strong intention, and then you have a strong emotion behind that. So your intention is electrical thought. Your emotions are the magnetic thought. So if you intend something very strongly, and then you have a strong emotion of gratitude, which is one of the best ones you have, as if that event has already happened, then that gives the permission for the forces to be waylaid and attacked. But like what Daniel experienced, it may take some time for that to be realized because the warfare is always around us.
How do you know when you're under attack, Arthur? Is it obvious?
Well, you can feel it. So when you feel things like you feel sudden fear come on you, or say the you've got the fear of the virus. When sudden fear comes on you, that is usually a demonic attack because that's his major weapon that he uses against people. Like, you know, he makes us fearful of relationships. He makes us fearful about our health. I mean, he's making us fearful about the COVID. And not to discount that, you know, COVID's a deadly disease, but he uses those things and magnifies our minds to use that against us. Listen, we're the only creatures, like when a deer's out in the field and a mountain lion goes after it, its basic instinct is it runs, it's got to escape. It's all
right.
About how far do I have to go and how much time do I have?
Its adrenaline kicks in and off it goes.
Exactly, right? So, but then after that attack's over and it's reached safety, it goes back to its normal grazing routine. It goes back to its normal process. Well, human beings have the ability when some really powerful event happens to you, some really negative event, say it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, something, your mind takes a picture of that event and it embeds it into your operating system. So when you come into a situation and your subconscious mind is always looking at your environment and it's saying, it's always in the survival mode. It's always looking to see what's going on. So if you run into a situation that's similar, say you're afraid of flying. Say you had a bad experience when you were very young flying and there was a lot of turbulence. And so now every time you walk out to get on that plane, your heart starts beating. Your adrenaline kicks in.
Sure.
Cortisol kicks in. And you haven't even gotten on the plane yet, but in your mind, it's your subconscious is going back to that picture of that negative.
Feel like you're having a heart attack before you even get going.
And that's exactly right. And that's what Satan uses against us also. So anytime you're in it, and if you have these type of phobias, you can be sure there's a demonic force behind that will use it against you. I mean, that's how insidious and how he works is that things have changed a lot since the time of Jesus. He used to send disciples out, and in his name they would cast them out. Well, Satan's had 2,000 years to refine his techniques, so you know we've had to become even smarter to do that. But here's the thing, is George, you'll never be smarter than Satan and his demons because they're not omnipotent, they're not omniscient, but they've had a lot of experience in studying humanity.
They sure have, yeah.
But what we have and Christ gave us was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to intercede for us and to give us the knowledge and wisdom we need in any situation. So it's beyond our knowledge and understanding. The Holy Spirit communicates. And people say, oh, you talk to God? Well, how can that be possible? Well, we're wired for Jesus. We're not wired for Satan. So when you see all the people from the biblical experience who are having these terrible physical maladies, that's because they're not made to be indwelled by demonic spirits, by satanic spirits. And when Jesus came in, he released those spirits from them, redeemed them, and then after he left and gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us the Holy Spirit to be able to guide us and direct us. And listen, we should be praying and listening to the Holy Spirit every day. And for me, it's not like a voice that talks outside. It's a gut feeling you feel in your heart.
When do you know you've beaten them or fought them off? Do you get some kind of exhilarating feeling, or what happens to us when you know you're not under attack anymore?
The peace that is beyond all understanding, that's when you know why. And one of the first guys I studied, Win Morley, he had a great technique he used. And I've used this with people. I'll give you a quick example. I was teaching spiritual warfare to a women's group one time. And this woman came up to me at the end, and she says, listen, I'm a believer, but I have these terrible experiences where I just have suicidal thoughts, and I want to kill myself.
Oh,
I said, okay, well, suicide's a demonic force that's coming against you. He's trying to single you out. So I gave her my phone number. I said, next time this happens, you call me. So about a month later, it's midnight, and the phone rings, and she says, hi. And she says, I'm having those thoughts again. I said, okay, so we're going to do a couple of things here. I said, first of all, we're going to bind up that spirit. And I led her through a prayer. We're binding it up. We're casting it out. We're loosing the warnings of Jesus Christ against it. And now we're going to ask the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to take authority over all those areas. Because when you cast something out, what you want to do is you want to replace it. So I did a prayer with her. I said, we want the Holy Spirit to seal all those places now that have been evacuated by that spirit so they can't come back in. So when you cast something out, you've got to replace it with something so that the Holy Spirit. So we did that. And I said, now the next thing we're going to do is we're going to pray for all the people who are being oppressed by Satan. She says, well, why are we going to do that? I said, because every time they come for you now, they know it's going to cost them something. So she did that and reported back to me. She says, you know, I have to tell you, these attacks are becoming fewer, and I'm actually really enjoying praying to help other people. And I said, well, that's good, because now you've got a two-step process you can use when anything like that comes after you to go after them and to be victorious.
I bet you have felt great dealing with some people, and you turn them around.
George, I can't tell you. It's the best feeling in the world when you give somebody, because this is nothing I've done out of my power, George. Listen, I'm just an old country boy that came off a tractor and got to send me out here to do a mission. I mean, you know, on a good day, I was a C student. But I put myself in this path, and he put me out here. And it's the best feeling in the world when you just give people basic instruction and say, here's how you go after it, and here's how you can teach other people. So it's a great feeling when you just give people some basic tools, and like the situation we're in right now, they can say, hey, you know what? It's like, it's one of my favorite things. It's like in the movie The Twin Towers. I think it was Twin Towers. When Gandalf stands at that fire bridge and the fire demon's coming after him, he puts his staff down and he says, you will not pass. To give you a visual reference to that, that's the power and authority.
That was tough. Arthur, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break in a moment. We're going to come back and take phone calls with you. Arthur's website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back with phone calls with Arthur Anderson, your stories as well, as we talk about spiritual warfare on Coast to Coast AM.